Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. We're going to talk about some of the micro issues that are going on. I want to say micro events that are going on right now in the world that are really causing some problems, certainly in my opinion and Jim's opinion. Going to talk a little bit about the situation that Macron is in over in France, and we're going to talk a little bit about the situation that the U.S. dollar is in, and that has become very, very obvious to people just in the last couple of days. Jimmy, it would appear that the U.S. could be right around the corner from its dollar using the reserve status, i.e. the currency of last resort in world transactions. It certainly is happening in many of the countries that President Xi of China has brokered deals with, deals of agreement with, i.e. specifically not Israel yet, but specifically Saudi Arabia, Iran, and other countries that are just on the verge of having some significant power. Any comments on that, Jim?
Yeah, I think it's been going on for a little while now. I think that we've seen with these relationships with this, and you know, Tucker Carlson talked about it a lot last night.
Right.
when you see the sanctions that were put on Russia and the fact that they really haven't had the economic impact that many thought that they would, certainly that the policymakers thought they would.
Yeah.
And you see China taking advantage of the circumstances in order to get energy buys with the yuan. When you see India going directly with Saudi Arabia moving away from the currency, when you see Saudi Arabia negotiating with Iran to build an economic deal brokered by China.
Yep.
When you hear French President Macron say that he does not want to decouple from China, which is obviously shows the amount of economic influence, you see a growing Chinese economic power and a weakening, diminishing U.S. power. People are not trusting the U.S. economy to be the biggest economy in the world. Eventually will be overtaken by China if there isn't a significant policy change. And what we're seeing right now with the just unbelievable expenditures that this recent administration has made and the inflation, the numerous foreign policy disasters, they're somewhat embarrassing and taking away the credibility of this nation internationally. And then you see things like what's happened in New York with the political attacks on the former president and basically the lack of rule of law. Everyone else in the world is looking at all this saying, oh my God, what's happening in the United States?
Yeah.
We're feeling it. They're looking at it. They're making decisions in the long run that they've got to take care of themselves. And they're looking at China as eventually taking over economically. So of course, it's going to change the impact of what's happening in the currency.
You bet. You bet it is. And that's unfortunate. You know, one thing that I thought was interesting that was brought out on most of the news yesterday is that the sanctions which America threw on the Chinese really had a much, much more significant negative effect on America than they did on China.
Yeah, you're talking about on Russia, correct?
Russia, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so they really, it had a negative effect, and I think, and that's pretty clear. It almost makes you think that people inside the White House that are making these decisions are either incompetent or actually trying to undermine the U.S. position in the world. Either way, it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
I do want to say there, you know, there are some issues that you've got to realize, and I'm not, China still has, you know, currency fluctuation issues where they actually, you know, do things that will actually, in the long term, may in fact keep people from trusting them.
You bet they do.
They are dependent on their manufacturing economy and the world's consumers. If that changes, if the world goes into recession or even depression, then their power will be diminished very significantly. They are spending a tremendous amount on military power, and they're absolutely diplomatically reaching out. But how long will the Biden administration last? Most nations do see these changes politically in the United States. Now, these have been unprecedented in history, what's happening right now with the corruption and the lies and the influence that the Chinese have over even the Biden administration. But as we're watching that, many people do still are concerned about, you know, the authoritarian nature of the Chinese Communist Party. So that there's two sides to this story. The problem is we are not coming up, the United States and the administration has no strategy to solve it. And the farther we get behind, the more dangerous it becomes.
Well,
and
when you look at the reserve currency status, that is a very, very, very big deal. That's perhaps the biggest deal in my mind of some of the negativity that's going on right now. And the reason I say that is I began to watch U.S. currency, Jimmy, back in 1998, just before the turn of the century. And one of the reasons back in those days that I got involved in my career in a big way in hard assets, specifically investing in gold and silver, because one of the reasons I was incredibly concerned back in those days for the economic stability and economic longevity of the United States was because we were utilizing very effectively an economy where the main trading item, the dollar, was backed by absolutely nothing. It was just backed by the full faith of the government, etc., etc. And I felt back in those days that that was not enough. And actually, in reality, what was really interesting is the guest on my show, and my opinion actually was correct. I mean, look what happened in terms of recessionary activity and within the U.S. and the world in 2008 and 2009.
There.
And flipping over to 2010.
Yeah, and of course, we're facing these issues now. And of course, the bigger, you know, what may be behind most of this is the very influential digital dollar advisors, the people that are trying to go to digital currency.
Right.
If you break the dollar and you go to it, and that actually gives you the opportunity to come in and say, oh, we've got to solve it with a digital currency.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm fearing is going to happen. Of course, you know, we've had a tremendous challenge with, you know, with different cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
Illegal exchanges and the problem, though Bitcoin is back up right now for a bit.
Yeah.
The moment the U.S. dollar goes to a digital currency, then Bitcoin will become valueless. However, there are still people that are willing to invest in something that you know, seems like risk and would take away centralized control of finance, of money.
No, the problem it was strengthen control of finance and money. If the government had that ability,
cryptocurrency.
Yeah,
but here's the point I'm making. The cryptocurrency piece of it is the idea between Bitcoin, behind Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is that it's not regulated. The idea of a digital dollar is it would be regulated.
Right.
If the digital dollar takes over, then it will regulate out free cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
So you're going to have this clash of ideologies, which is happening right now across the board and actually in every aspect of our lives right now.
Yeah.
And economically, you know, it puts people under complete control of the government when they own the ability, when they manage the ability to take your cash or you don't have cash of your bank account and force you into electronic operations, electronic transfers, where they can close it off because they don't like what you think or say.
Right. Now, that's one of the reasons.
And we're seeing more of this.
Okay.
With,
of course,
at so many levels, you know, clearly, you know, we can go back and forth with Canada and what they did with the trucker protests and the Canadian government locking out people's bank accounts. because of protest against the government, a legitimate protest, a actual fairly, you know, it wasn't violent. There was no violence there.
No.
So you're seeing this fight between control and libertarians that really want to manage control and protect their own interests, and the people that really want freedom and voting. And of course, that's bearing out today in France, yeah, as the BlackRock headquarters gets overrun in the protests over Macron raising the retirement age from 62 to 64. You're seeing the backlash coming. And of course, we don't know where it's going to turn. You know, France does not have a good history of civil order when it comes to protesting, and it may spread because people are frustrated with this effort to control that potentially puts authoritarian control over all our economic activity.
Well, you know, you got a point, Jimmy. What I would have to say is that. What I would strongly have to say is that in terms of macroeconomic events that really fall into the category of being incredibly negative, not only for the American economy, but for the economies of the free world, those events are getting more and more common on the news almost every single day, Jim.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we're seeing unbelievable things that we would never imagine happening. In my lifetime, I would have never imagined some of the things that I've seen happen in the United States and globally. And of course, and the disconnect between people and the inability to actually critically think and question their own thoughts and beliefs is becoming more and more commonplace.
Well, they're getting emotions wrapped up into their thinking, which I think is very, very negative. Anger and negative emotions never solved anything. I mean, a great example right now is what's going on in our country in terms of attempting, on the part of the Manhattan District Attorney, attempting to basically, for lack of better terms, maybe just for his own satisfaction, I don't know, to prove that Trump engaged in illegal activity, which, I mean, most of the news outlets on Tuesday when this whole hullabaloo started agreed that the case brought against the former president was absolutely amazingly flawed.
Yeah, it's a joke, actually. Not a joke, because it's so serious, has such an impact on our judicial system.
Right.
And of course, many people are saying, hey, I'm never going to get a fair trial in New York. And that's the goal, right? That's what happens with the J6 protesters that are being held in Washington, D.C. These liberal enclaves that have lost any sense of justice and rule of law, where they actually believe that their political points are more important than following the law. And that's the problem with America right now, is people have lost touch that free speech is really important.
Yeah.
That free press is really important. That innocent until proven guilty is really important. Those factors made this nation what it is, and they are being completely crushed by tech companies, by government officials, with censorship, with we can name the specifics, but everybody's heard them so far. Yeah. What it means right now is Americans better stand up, better wake up, and better stand up and push back against this, or we're in serious trouble.
We are in serious trouble. Yeah, right? I think we are. And the micro events that I've been talking about for the last few days and trying to prove a point are occurring more and more frequently. I mean, look at the condition of New York City. Look at the condition of San Francisco. I was so upset when I saw
Seattle.
Yeah, or Seattle, where I just left. I was so upset when I saw the video of what's going on right now in San Francisco and New York. I was so upset. I called a friend of mine up in San Francisco. And, and I said, so what's going on? I'm not there. I don't come down anymore. What's going on in your great city? And he said, it doesn't bother me a bit. He said, it really doesn't affect me. But he said, admittedly, I would not go into the city because it is totally, totally disorganized and not even a sanitary place to visit. Scares the shit out of me, Jim.
Well, again, you have so many people that say, I got mine, and they're going to hide out in their little environment and say, it doesn't matter to me. And they don't want to accept that the reason why the situation is there is because of the way they vote, because of what they support. And what they support is actually directly undermining their living conditions. But if they get away from it and they're safe in their home until someone comes in and breaks into it, they don't know and they don't care.
Right. Well, that is happening.
They don't care about their neighbor either.
They don't care about what?
Their neighbor. They don't care about other people. They don't care about the homeless. It's like, screw them. I mean, they say they donate money and they say, I'm going to help them or whatever. But the reality is they don't care about them because the more you throw money at this problem, the worse it gets. And that's been proven in Seattle beyond belief.
Yeah.
And the real problem, Al, is when your leadership, the nation, our president, if you call them that, whatever, the entire goal, the number one and number two issues that they're focusing on are climate change and diversity, equity, inclusion. Diversity, equity, inclusion actually separate people. They give advantage to people not based on merit, but based on the color of their skin. That is unacceptable in a free society. And then they push climate change, which is actually undermining energy security, financial stability, and absolutely based on flawed science with no questioning it, or you will be attacked for saying you're a climate denier or something like that. Is a political power grab, and it isn't facing reality that, by the way, we lose our capacity to do things here while China, Russia, and the Indians and the rest of the world actually increase their capability to pollute the planet with no oversight. It's absolutely insanely stupid, but that's what this administration is doing right now, and it's undermining everything, and it's actually splitting everybody up in this nation into two camps, and they're almost asking for a civil war.
Oh, they are. There's no question about that. By the way, speaking of that, I don't know how many listeners we have in Seattle, but I'm living in Seattle now, and I just want to say you can contact me personally through the blog or with my email, alcorlin@gmail.com. If you'd like to get together sometime just informally and discuss these issues with me, I would welcome that opportunity. alcorlin@gmail.com. Jim, anything else you want to discuss this great Tuesday morning?
No, except for I think it's Thursday and almost the end of the week. It's gone by fast.
Yep.
But let's just continue trying to give information and let people think and consider what the ramifications are of decisions that are being made, long-term implications.
I would certainly welcome that opportunity. Jimmy, thank you so much.
You bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.